this show is sponsored by BetterHelp. You ever feel like you really need to get something off your chest? This is like a real thing. Like, if you're mad, if you're upset, if there's something going on, like there's often for me an idea. Maybe it's a wrong. Maybe it's a moment. It's an injustice. It's something that just you keep going on and on, over and over in your mind about it, and like that can create anger and resentment or shame, whatever it is. And very often, I have found, I am not a therapist, I have found that when you let it out, when you give it voice, when you say it out loud, sometimes it makes you feel better because you've expressed it. And sometimes it makes you realize like, oh, this is not a big deal, but it's been stuck in my head. So you give voice to those things, and it can make you feel a lot better. And shock of all shocks, therapy is one of those things that can help you do that. It can help you be able to say those things in a place where you don't need to worry about the repercussions of it, work your way through it, figure out coping skills, how to get around it. You know, find ways to deal with that stuff instead of letting it fester. If you are thinking of starting therapy, if anything I said sounds familiar, you're like, oh, maybe my life would be a little better if I could deal with that kind of thing. You should give BetterHelp a try. It's fully online. It is convenient, flexible. It is suited to your schedule. That's the idea. That's what they're going for. You can fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist. That's a big deal. You can switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. That personal connection, I believe, to be super important. Again, I'm not a professional. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/iFanboy today. You get 10% off your first month. That is BetterHelp, HELP.com/iFanboy.
Hi, and welcome to the iFanboy Pick of the Week podcast. Again, week 7, I believe, episode 7 for this weekend of December 17th, the pre-Christmas holiday rush. This week, I've again got Ron and Connor with us.
Hello.
Hey.
I didn't say their names with a space, so they didn't know when to respond. That's my fault.
And you haven't got a degree in this stuff, too.
It's poor broadcasting. is what it is. But they never let me on the radio station in college, so there you go. Every week we read a whole bunch of comic books. One of us will write a review, which is, if I might say, usually completely beautifully written and witty. Very entertaining. And then we do this pick of the week where we chat about it for a couple of minutes and then ramble. This week, the honors go to Ron. It was supposed to be my week, but we switched off because stuff was going on.
Well, it's not so much that stuff has gone on. It's just that I was so excited that a book that I've been waiting for so long actually came out that I felt the need.
Yeah, that's why he did it.
Yeah. In fact, I was expecting you to put up more of a fight, but you buckled pretty quickly. So I was.
I don't. It's the thing. This is all. I don't want to go to the comic shop anymore.
I mean,
this is over after this week.
Right. It's that specific store. It's not comics in general.
No, it's not comics. It's so far away. The traffic is so awful, and it's just...
That's what you get for living in L.A., so...
I was fine for a while, but then I moved farther away, and so it made it just that much more intolerable.
All right, enough of the lamenting about the drive. Let's get to the review.
What'd you buy?
All right, so finally, after 3 or 4 weeks of bated breath and waiting, X-Factor number 1 finally hit stands.
And so, teacup.
Yeah. And so I know that this has been a month of surprises at iFanboy, where we're trying new comics and picking books that we don't normally pick, you know, what with all the Gotham Central and all the mutant titles and the like.
Time we picked Gotham Central?
Well, no, but the numerous times that you pick Gotham Central twice in the past 2 months, so I mean, considering
Warren it's... Warren Ellis was right!
No, actually, since September 7th, you've picked Gotham Central 3 times.
Yes.
So
what does that tell you about Gotham Central?
Kicks ass.
Very good.
Actually, let me check that, actually. Gotham Central 34, 35, 36, and 38 have all been picked as pick of the week.
That was the Robin storyline, right?
Yes, it was. Every issue was storyline. Good stuff.
Except for 37. That was the only one that didn't get in.
That was a standalone issue.
Before we, okay, so before you get started,
yes.
You know about the Robin storyline?
I have no idea what you're referring
to. Okay, here's what happened.
And now we're back talking about Gotham Central.
It's where it has to be. It's where it's led us. We're not in any position to deny
that. I fanboy Gotham Central podcast.
What happened was, all of a sudden, all these young boys started showing up dead, and they were wearing Robin uniforms. So the first one, they're like, is this really him? So they thought they had an eye on who Batman was. And so it was a big thing, and they were like, should we bring in Batman for questioning and all this stuff? And then another person showed up in a Batman Robin uniform, dead. And it was a great story. I mean, that's the basic idea of it. If you know, what if they found like a dead Robin?
But then it brought the Teen Titans in for questioning.
Yep.
Cool. All right.
It's completely unimpressed.
Anyway.
Go ahead. Tell us about X Factor.
We didn't pick Gotham Central. All right. So if anybody who reads iFanboy.com and read the pick of the weeks in the past, you remember last year, perhaps, September 2004, I picked the first issue of a miniseries called Madrox Number 1, which was written by Peter David, and it was drawn by Pablo Raimondi. And what it was is a little five-issue miniseries under the Marvel Knights title of... Jamie Madrox, the Multiple Man, is he even B-list? Is he really C-list?
He's a C-list.
C-lister? Yeah. Of the Marvel Universe.
Well, the main iteration of him is B-list, and then the rest of them are C.
Yeah, the rest of them has been C-list. Yeah, back in the day, he would hang out on Muir Island or whatever, however you pronounce that. Muir Island with Moira McTaggart. Mm-hmm. And, but anyway, his power was that he gets hit physically and out pops a duplicate of himself. So he's the Multiple Man. Now, he elevated from C-list to B-list back in the early 90s when the X-Men titles were rebooted in 91, I think, and Peter David wrote X-Factor, which had the lineup of Havoc, Polaris, Strong Guy, Wolfsbane, and Multiple Man, and Quicksilver for a time.
What about Guido?
Guido Strong Guy.
Oh.
That was his code name.
Right.
They just failed on the naming front with that guy.
Well, that was an ongoing joke, was that he needed a code name.
We're out of names.
So they called him Strong Guy, and it was kind of all, you know, like that was a running gag.
I know, but his name is actually Guido, too.
Guido Carosella. He used to be Lila Cheney's bodyguard. Lila Cheney is the cosmic teleporter rock star.
And this explainer has been brought to you by iFanboy.com.
So the miniseries followed Madrox, who apparently set up shop in Mutant Town, the section of New York where all the mutants were living, and set up a detective agency and was tracking down some case and some mystery or whatever. I honestly don't remember the specifics of that story. But it was really, really good because, for whatever reason, Madrox is just written really well by Peter David, as he was written really well in that X-Factor series. And he kind of picked up where he left off 15 years ago and is just very, you know, very witty, sarcastic, a lot of pop culture references, and took a new take on the character, who previously was this B-list or C-list background kind of character with this kind of pointless power. And not a frontline power. And kind of took the character in a new direction, put him in this kind of detective agency, kind of mystery kind of theme. And he also tweaked his powers a little so that every time he forms a duplicate, it isn't just a direct clone of himself. It's actually a facet of his personality. So there could be a similar to the Michael Keaton movie Multiplicity.
Wait,
me want to rush out and read it.
First of all, that's a good movie. Second of all,
that's a great movie.
Is that a new? I don't remember that. I used to buy that old Peter David X Factor.
No. It was a new facet to his powers as of that miniseries last year.
Okay.
So he was exploring that. So he was like saying, you know, he'd pop off a dupe and it would be, you know, a cocky dupe, and he'd pop off another dupe and it would be like a shy one. And okay. It would be a different
aspect. What's the advantage of a shy dupe?
I don't know. I mean, but I don't know if there's an advantage of it, but
go ahead.
No, it just allowed for a lot of it was just more than just another duplicate, you know.
I have a question about his powers.
Sure.
Now, previous to that. Okay, so this is a conscious thing he does now. It wasn't that they just changed his power, but he said, "Well, what if I do it like this?" And he concentrates, and when he squeezes, like shy one, you know.
No, it's he can't control what comes out.
Okay. Yeah. Now, previous to that, were the multiples of him the same as him, or were they diminished in some way? Were they slightly stupider? Were they?
Well, no, they were the same as him in that they had all his knowledge and they had his same. He looked just like him. I believe there was some sort of time period that they lasted, or he needed to absorb them or something like that. There was some kind of catch, you know. And in X Factor they played a lot with, is this the real Jamie or is this a dupe, and how do we know, you know, and he duplicating himself so many times, how does he know that it's him, you know, like that kind of metaphysical kind of approach to it. But I think it's an interesting thing, because he, you know, he virtually disappeared from the X-Men books between like 93 and last year. And Peter David addressed that and explained that what he did was I guess there really isn't a time period on his dupes, but he does have to absorb them, or something happens or whatnot. Mm-hmm. Or like one of his dupes can't die, or he can't die, something like that. But,
so if one of his dupes get killed, is he less of a man?
I think he feels it. I think he feels it, but he's still alive. But he knows it happened or whatever. But what's interesting was that apparently in that time period where he's been out and about, he knocked off a bunch of dupes, and like one duplicate went out and went to Tibet and learned Buddhism, and another one went to college, and another one went and did something else. And so, and as he's reabsorbed those duplicates, he gains their information. So he's got all this wealth of information that he's learned from his duplicates being out in the world.
Can I tell you, it sounds like an incredible idea for a character.
Yeah.
I mean, I always thought it was kind of cool, but like, there's so much stuff you could do with that. But then again, right. It's one of those things where you make him so cool that you could find a way to make him omnipotent in almost any situation.
Right.
Superman problem.
I think the thing holding him back from the omnipotence, or holding holding the character back from having that problem, is the kind of self-awareness of the duplicates and self-awareness of his shortcomings. Mm-hmm. And so while he has this power, I mean, power is just to make duplicates, but he's not super strong.
He's also just a man.
He's just a guy, yeah.
Shoot him in the face and he'd be dead.
And also with this idea that the duplicates have different facets of his personality, it allows, you know, trying to find the right duplicate for the right kind of job, which is a plot point in this first issue, which is now X Factor number one, which is, you know, after Decimation has happened, there's a moment in the Decimation book that I picked a couple of weeks ago when Cyclops calls Madrox and says, hey, we need you up here in Westchester to help out. We need your duplicates. And he's like, actually, no, I'm busy down here in New York, so sorry. And he's busy there because he's starting his detective agency, and apparently there's an increase in business and that sort of thing. And so this is the first issue of showing, okay, so the disaster happened, and now, you know, Madrox is, he's got Strong Guy and he's got Wolfsbane, but he's also, he's recruited Siren, who is Banshee's daughter, and M, who is in Generation X, to be part of the detective agency. And then this issue is him recruiting Richter, who used to be one of the New Mutants, or X-Force, who actually lost his powers in the whole Decimation thing. And this issue has to do with Richter dealing with losing his powers, and he's about to kill himself. He's going to jump off a building, and so Madrox goes to intervene and pops off a duplicate that he believes to be his optimistic side, and sends that duplicate to go talk Richter down. And in talking Richter down, he tells him about the detective agency and tells him what they're doing, as well as opens up the side plot of what's going on with Siren and a case that Siren's been working on. So that's pretty much
issue. It wasn't his optimistic dupe?
Well,
Was it like a sad Jerry dupe?
I don't want to spoil the book for you, because that's part of this twist at the end.
I see.
But he is an optimistic dupe, but he also, the optimistic dupe also has another facet of his personality, which is kind of unpredictability, which plays into the story. So,
hey, is Jamie, is he an American, or is he supposed to be a Brit, or is he?
I believe he's American.
Okay.
I will say that I Wednesday I completely forgot to buy comics.
Wow.
I was in such a rush to get out of work that I ran to the subway, got on the subway, and was about three stops into the ride when I realized, oh,
crap.
And by then, you're just too far to turn around, because comics are completely in the other direction. And I was already in my head that I was going home, so I didn't buy them. The upside to that was I read Ron's Pick of the Week, and I said, all right, well, I'll check out X Factor number one. So when I went Thursday, I bought that too. And
I'm nearly convinced.
It was pretty good. I was a fan of Peter David's X Factor, so that's probably.
And I think, yeah, Peter David's X Factor was a great run, and I think the highlight of that run was his connecting with this character. And he really writes a lot of he utilizes the inner
monologue.
The inner monologue narrator kind of device really well with Madrox too.
And it's good. He does connect with the character, and it's smart to make him the central character, because I think wasn't Havoc the central character in X Factor?
Yeah, Havoc was the leader of that X Factor team, and Madrox is kind of in the background. Yeah, so.
This was good. I enjoyed it. The art's really good.
Yeah, the art is a big thing, because the art in Madrox is really good too. Because also with the kind of the story approach of it being kind of detective-y and kind of gritty, the art has reflected that. At least it did in the Madrox miniseries. Kind of had that Daredevil-esque kind of darker kind of look. And Ryan Sook did the art for this. I think it's Sook or Sook or whatever. And continued that kind of that look and feel, and it really complements the story really, really well. Like, it's a lot of dark. A lot of stuff happens at night and dimly lit. And
well, it's all at night. It only takes place over the course of about an hour.
Yeah, it's all at night, yeah. So, but, I mean, it was really cool. And there's a really – and I mentioned in the review, as he's explaining to Richter what they're doing with the detective agency and how they started up, he said, how did you get the money? And there's a little one-page exposition explaining how he got the money, how he got $1 million to start the detective agency. And it's yet another funny kind of use of the duplicate powers too, and how he was able to use that to earn money.
This is a point where I disagree with you, because I thought that was dumb.
Oh, I thought it cracked me up. I thought it was hysterical.
I thought it was really funny in the year 2000, in the year 2005.
Yeah, it was a little dated.
It was not a little dated. It was at least 5 years dated. It was
possibly.
It was a pop culture reference from 5 years ago. And it was
still amusing. It was still amusing.
Also,
he bought the sock puppet, didn't he?
Also,
he had the sock puppet.
You can't buy a building in New York for that much money.
Well, it's in the crappy part of town.
There is no crappy part of town.
No, not Manhattan.
Yeah, that's true. Well, whatever. Well, if it's somewhat, you've got to let it go to the story. The license, dramatic license.
Took me right out of the story. Besides that, I really enjoyed it, and I'll be picking up issue two.
Yeah, and really, I mean, what it comes down to is just that, like, I really hope it is allowed to flourish, because, I mean, I don't know.
It'll be tough. I think it's tough.
Yeah, I mean, like, I completely wouldn't be surprised if issue seven is the last issue, and like similar to the
Nova.
Nova, exactly, the Nova relaunch that we all got very excited for, and then it died very quickly.
All you can hope is if that does happen, you get seven quality issues. At the end of the day, that's all you can hope for.
No one's just basically somebody has to read it.
Right. Yeah. So if you're listening to this, go out and buy the book.
You're doing God's work. What are you doing, Pad's work?
It's good stuff, though. You won't be disappointed if you do that.
Yeah, it is really good stuff, and it also continues this kind of, like, I never was a fan of Peter David, but I never wasn't a fan of Peter David. I mean, I knew a lot of the what was Peter David and all the controversy that's been around in the columns and the arguments, and we saw him
debate Todd McFarlane in person, and that pretty much sealed my that sealed my fanhood.
Which is pretty funny, but and I never really read any of the Hulk stuff that he wrote, but I did read X Factor, and I loved X Factor when it was out.
He was really good in the 90s.
Yeah,
I don't really know what he's on now. But
Spider-Man.
But his X Factor was good. His Aquaman in the 90s was really good, and I only read a few of the issues of the Hulk, but a friend of mine collected them. He really liked it, and I would occasionally read his issues, and those were good. So he was really strong in the 90s.
He's good. I mean, like, it's just funny because...
And Supergirl. Supergirl was good.
Oh, right, his Supergirl. His little angelic Supergirl, right?
Yeah, that was good.
But it was just interesting because it's been a very long time since I've been waiting weeks for a specific comic book, and like the fact that and Wednesday was a busy day.
Wouldn't shut up about this comic coming out for a month.
And Wednesday was really, I mean, Wednesday I was in the city, we went to go see King Kong, it was like, you know, like I had to go to work, there was all this stuff, and all I could think about all day was, I gotta get the comic book store, I gotta get X-Factor number one.
So that was the opposite for me. All that stuff we did during the day completely threw me off of my schedule, and I forgot that it was Wednesday.
I mean, it got to the point where
Wait, you guys hang out together?
It's the pros of living in the same time zone.
We saw King Kong together.
Yeah, we saw King Kong.
I know. It was anyway. A joke.
But
yes, you know that, but not everyone else does.
But anyway, but to the point where I actually called my comic book store at like noon or like 11 in the morning.
To make sure they got it in?
To make sure, A, they got it in, and make sure they would hold one aside for me.
You called them anyway. You're like, hey, Steve, how's it going?
Yeah, well, I mean, no, but I mean, it was, and I don't normally do that. No, I don't have a pull list, so normally there have been times where books sell out and I miss out because I get there right as they close.
You know, we were right there on 34th Street, not far from a very big
Yeah, I know, but I didn't want to have to schlep my comics in and around the city and all that.
Yiddish has made its way into the iFanboy podcast. I want sound effects. Like, when somebody starts to argue, I want to hit, like, a fight ring. I want, like, so you want start using Yiddish, I want to, like, lach him, like, something like that.
So basically, you want the iFanboy Morning Zoo.
In some we could have a stupid news segment.
In some deep, dark part of my soul, yes, I do.
So anyway, so Madrox was the book to read this week. And honestly, I spent $50 this week on books. So I had a lot to choose from.
$50?
I spent $50.
How many books did you buy?
Did you buy any gift, like...
I bought things? 8 books.
I bought 15 books.
Jesus.
And that was $50?
$50.
Yeah, I guess
it could honestly be split up into, you know, Uncanny X-Men and X-Men came out, and that was good, and Captain Atom came out, and that was good. That's continuing that going well. Good. But I did pick up the Marvel Knights Spider-Man to continue the other deal.
Why?
Because it's a car wreck, and I have to know what's going to happen. It's so bad.
You're becoming a car wreck.
I know.
No, they're still reading it. I guess we should keep printing it. Keep it going.
But do you know what came out, which I actually bought, which I honestly wish I didn't buy?
Oh, well, wait, can I guess?
Sure.
What If Wolverine?
No, I didn't buy I didn't buy any of the What Ifs. I didn't buy any of the What Ifs.
I want to talk about that when you're done talking about it.
All right, well, I bought... There were two books that I bought. One that I was glad that I bought, and the one that I wish I hadn't bought. One that I wish I hadn't bought was Secret War, Book 5 of 5, which...
That's another one I stopped buying after issue one.
Which I don't even remember when it started, but I have no idea what happened previously.
That's because it's 4 or 5 months between issues.
And the thing is that the painted artist, it's not that good. He's not even that good.
It's not good.
So, I don't know, I wasted money on that. But I didn't waste money on the Great Lakes Avengers Christmas special, which was fantastic. And had a bunch of, had like 4 or 5 mini-stories around the Great Lakes Avengers around Christmas time, including one that was drawn by Paul Grist of Kane, which I was like, why is he doing this? Why don't they have him on like a real book? But
never tell anybody apart in his books.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
That was the problem with Kane. You couldn't tell what was going on.
And Jack Staff is a little bit like that, but this you could tell who was who. But anything Great Lakes Avengers, I'm buying because it cracks me up, so... So I didn't buy any of the What If books.
I just
though,
want to briefly mention.
Well, because for some reason,
I don't want to get too much into it, but
yeah, I mean, like I love What If, and
What If was one of my favorite books growing up.
Yeah, and it was, and for some reason, this batch of What Ifs, I read all the summaries, and I was like, yeah, I'm not interested in any.
Well, that's why I bought this one, because I'd read the little summary about it. It's Wolverine in 20 Chicago with Al Capone. I thought that might be interesting, so I bought it. First of all, the old What Ifs always tied into the real storyline somehow. It was always like a departure. What if Captain America became president? There was a time in the 80s when he was almost going to run.
Right, it was
what
a decision.
Peter Parker
it was a
stopped the burglar. I mean, it was always a decision that was gone differently, and the storyline splits. This is completely just not. It doesn't have any relation to the book.
It's an Elseworlds.
It's an Elseworlds tale. It's the old What Ifs always had a fable ending. You know, they learned a lesson. Somebody dies. Somebody important dies because the decision was made incorrectly. You know, there's always. Oh, you should have done that. This is just Wolverine in Chicago, and it was boring, and it was dumb. And I read it, and why did I fall into the trap again?
There's nothing worse than the resentful comic book purchase.
Yeah.
Like, I wish you could return them sometimes.
So I know, I finished it, and I went, oh, terrible. Why?
Yeah.
The art was horrible.
It reminds me of the worst issue of Punisher I ever read, the one that made me stop reading it. You know what I'm talking about?
No.
About probably 2 or 3 years ago, sort of coming near the end of that run, they did the guy who did the Gay Cowboy book. Who is that? Who used to work on Stern?
Oh yeah, the guy
Ron Zimmerman.
Yes,
and he did the issue of Punisher where he was like back in the gangster, like he,
oh really?
It was 20s gangster stuff.
And I think I even stopped by then.
And it was
God.
A dream.
Oh,
like, that
God.
Was the end is that Frank woke up, and it was a dream. It was the single worst comic book I'd read in 5 years.
Oh, God.
It was exactly the same story, though. It's like he goes after the established mafia. Oh,
this is stupid.
It was a dream at the last page. I said, you've got to be kidding me.
How could you even use that as a plot point?
I don't know. He was so bad.
Zimmerman?
I didn't buy any of the Punishers, unless Punisher... I do buy Punisher as long as it's written by Ennis, although I'm getting ready to drop it because it's been really bad recently. But, yeah.
In other comic news, really briefly also, I finally saw the Fantastic Four movie last night for the first time.
Oh, you did? What did you think?
Here's what I thought. This is sort of the opposite effect of King Kong. King Kong has been talked up as the best movie of all time since last week when the press saw it. So when Ron and I saw it, I was slightly underwhelmed simply because I was expecting a lot more. Fantastic Four was the opposite. It's been bashed so much by people I know and stuff I've read that I was almost pleasantly surprised at how not as bad as it was.
It was decent.
It was decent. It had moments. It had some really, really bad moments, which
yes,
made you go, ugh. Yeah. But there was a lot of really good moments. They really did the thing well. They did Johnny Storm well. And I disliked Jessica Alba less at the end than I did in the beginning. And the guy who plays Reed less at the end than I did at the beginning. And I thought Doom wasn't as bad as I thought he was going to be.
Yeah.
So it was like, I went in with really, really low expectations, and since it wasn't terrible, I thought, that wasn't too bad.
I haven't seen it, so I'd like to disagree with you, just because I want to. But B, that's exactly the same review as I gave to Daredevil.
Yeah.
I went in to see Daredevil when I was like, wow, that didn't suck nearly as much as I thought it would.
Yeah.
Watch it again and you'll change your mind.
Yeah, it doesn't hold up.
I had the same reaction to the theater. I liked it in the theater, then when I bought the DVD, I watched it and I went, ooh.
I agree.
But I will say Fantastic Four, you won't feel like you've wasted your time. There's enough good moments in it, Fantastic Four moments that...
As the only person who was able to drag myself to the theater to go see it, I enjoyed it. There were things I wished were a little different, or things that I wished they had changed or done a little better. But
to me, the saddest thing was there was so much potential in it.
Yeah,
and it's just you can see it all wasted. You can see moments wasted on the screen where a better director, a better writer would have really done a kick-ass movie.
Well,
the sad thing is the sequel's already been announced with the same team because
I was just gonna say they can redeem themselves in the second.
They made so much money that they're bringing the same writer director team back, so it's gonna be the same thing. But it wasn't terrible. It wasn't terrible.
I heard the thing was real good.
The thing was really good, and I liked the interplay between him and Johnny Storm, which is really important. Was really well done.
Mm. Yeah. I thought Johnny Storm was one of the best.
He was perfect, I think.
Yeah, he was great. He was really good. He was hopefully I'll be getting that for Christmas. So. If not, I'll just go buy it the day after. So.
Really?
Oh yeah, I'm totally going to buy it.
But like the day after Christmas, cuz you really have to have it.
Oh yeah, no, I usually go shopping the day after Christmas.
Kristen, get up. Fantastic Four. That?
No, but I mean, like, you know, the day after Christmas I go and I pick up the stuff I really wanted that I didn't get. So.
You really like to wait in lines then?
Nah, not that many lines around here, at least.
Yeah, I guess you're right. I'm so jaded by living here.
Yeah. But,
Los Angeles is hell.
it's becoming like a bit in every podcast. It's like, well, let's hear about Los Angeles, Josh, so let's go.
I do a bit.
So we did get a couple of emails from some of our listeners out there. You can if you feel inclined, you can write to us at contact@ifanboy.com and tell us what you think or ask us any of your questions. And we thought we'd share some of them with you guys and answer the questions live on the podcast. So we got an email from Clive in England who writes to say that he's, you know, likes the podcast, which is very cool. And he's actually going to be visiting New York and was curious what the decent comic book stores in New York were, which I think Connor is probably best suited to answer that.
Well, there's a couple of great stores, but there's really two main ones. Midtown Comics, I think, is the best store. It's the store I go to. There's two locations. One's in Times Square, and the other is right next to Grand Central Station, which I've never actually been to, so I couldn't tell you exactly how to find it.
I've been to that store. It's a good store. It's new, and it's the layout.
Is it easy to find?
Yeah, big sign.
Well, there's one. It's on 40th Street, 7th Avenue. That's the Times Square location. It's upstairs. You see it as a big sign for it. You can't miss it. But
And the second one is on the east side of Grand Central Station.
Okay. And then the other... I would say if you're going to go anywhere, go there. That's called Midtown Comics. You can find it at midtowncomics.com. The other store is Jim Hanley's Universe, which is across the street from the Empire State Building on 33rd Street, right off of 5th Avenue. it's a good store. It's got I got issues with it, but it's a good store. It's better than most stores you'll go to in your
life. You got in a fight with it in a bar once.
Yeah.
Ironically, it's like literally across the street from where you work, and you don't shop there regularly.
It's 50 steps from where I work. I don't like it, but it's a good store I went there for three years. It's a good store.
It's a good tourist store.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. And it's good if you have a lot of time to browse.
You're talking about not being a good store for sort of running in to get your comics and be gone, but if you have never been to a giant comic store, like, that's a hell of a place to go.
It's a good I will go there to go if I've got time to browse around. Mm-hmm. And it's got a heavy, heavy stock of independent stuff if you're into that. And
yeah, it's got when I worked in the city in the summer of 97, it was on my walk to the office, that's where I got my comics that summer, and that's where I bought, that's where I like opened up to a whole bunch of different indie books that I didn't even know existed. It was from being in that store, and that's where I picked up on like Stray Bullets and Strangers in Paradise and all this other kind of black and white stuff that was just like awesome that the store in Ithaca didn't even carry. So.
Right. No, it's a good store for that. I just don't like. Yeah. I don't like certain aspects of it, but it's good. It's a good store.
Clive also was wondering if we had any series to recommend to him. He's a big fan of The Flash, Green Lantern, Metal Gear Solid, and Batman and the X-Men.
Don't read Green Lantern.
But at the moment, he's not getting any of them, and so he was
Attacking giant shark people. Yeah. In this one, it's the worst comic book I've read since The Punisher. I was talking about.
Yeah, no, Green Lantern's been a huge disappointment.
Huge disappointment.
But he's looking for a recommendation, maybe something to do with Batman.
Well, let's see.
God, what?
I would say Gotham Central, but it's really right about to end.
What?
So right. I would say pick up the trades for Gotham Central. It's hard to recommend DC books right now because they're all literally going to change in 3 months. They're all going to be completely different. So
well, keep in mind he's in England, so I don't know he's probably looking more for trades and that sort of thing as opposed to single issues and like ongoing.
They get ongoing issues in England, you know.
Yeah. Along with running water and electricity.
I just thought all the books there have to do with Captain Britain and
it's not Madagascar. He's like,
you know, they can take a plane there now. You don't have to go by steamership anymore.
Please, sir, can I have some electricity?
I also recommend it to Clive if he's into superhero stuff like Flash or Green Lantern or X-Men that he should check out Invincible.
Yes, he should. Anybody who likes superhero books should read Invincible.
And actually, that Invincible hardcover is supposed to be fantastic, full of great goodies and stuff like that, and behind the scenes kind of stuff.
And with the conversion rate to pounds, it's much cheaper than it would be.
It works in your favor.
In American dollars, this will cost you roughly about 12 cents your money, I think.
It's like $100 bucks, right. I think. Here.
I believe a pound is roughly equivalent to $700. So you're good to go.
That is when I moved to England. That's what it was like.
Our second listener email comes from Carlos, who was taking issue with our comment about there being a few good writers on the podcast.
First of all, that was your comment.
It was my comment?
Yes, Josh and I immediately refuted that comment on the air.
Well, Carlos then is joining you guys.
Sure,
and taking
it really
issue
sounds
with that.
Like one of my comments.
It does.
it was Ron saying it's like Major League Baseball pitching. There's not enough good writers to go around, and we said that's not the case. There aren't enough good writers to go around. It's just you can't coordinate an entire line of books to make.
I agree with what Connor says.
Right. Well, let's not rehash. But anyway, so Carlos points out that that he's been buying Young Avengers and Runaways, which are two titles which I don't think have gotten as much praise on the podcast as of yet, but I know I'm a huge fan of both of them. Young Avengers, written by Alan Heinberg, the guy who worked on the OC, who's actually turning out to be a really pretty good comic book writer. And then, of course, Brian K. Vaughan, who is beloved by the iFanboy crew, right, guys?
He's a young phenom.
Yes. So points that out as well, that we're missing out. And he's also actually he's currently reading the new She-Hulk by Dan Slott, which is I just started picking up, which is supposed to be really good.
I can't buy that book simply because the writer's name is too close to Don Slott, who used to be on the Yankees, and he was really bad. So
it's too close to arbitrary reasons. Onslaught, who was a second tier villain.
So anyway, so thank you, Carlos and Clive, for your emails, and everybody else, if you want to email us at contact@ifanboy.com, and you know, let us know that you're out there listening. If you have any questions, or if you want to join in on the conversation, we'd love to hear what you think, because, you know, Lord knows we're full of shit. So,
Don't reveal our secrets.
I totally didn't expect to hear that come out of you. I don't know why. I'm oddly impressed. I stand awed.
I remember doing this in the morning. He's not happy about
yeah,
it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, we're spry and awake.
I'm awed by a lot right now, though.
Look at that sunlight.
I never see that.
This is the second time this week Ron's woken you up really early.
Yeah,
he saved my ass. I forgot to set my alarm, and I'm sleeping, and he emails me at what seems like a convenient time to him, 11:30 East Coast time, and
it was a text message.
He text messaged me, so my phone starts dinging, and I woke up.
Well, this whole text message thing is new to Josh. It's wondrous.
Josh has just been catapulted into the 21st century.
We got an electric blender too. So here's something I missed. I get an email every once in a while from Top Shelf.
Yes.
Top Shelf Comics, the indie distributor. And it's loaded with all the stuff they got. And normally I sort of glance at it and delete it. And then I saw these books.
I sort of glance at it, then I delete it.
They send these out like every couple of weeks. And I'm not going to go through and order 100 books every time I get one.
Right.
It's not spam, but it's right there.
It's contextual spam.
It is. But I looked at it and I saw they've got a bunch of books on sale because they sell books.
Wait, I don't want to get anybody the wrong idea. We like Top Shelf.
No, I've bought a lot of books from Top Shelf.
Yeah, yeah. Okay,
no, I do
cool.
too.
So
I probably have more Top Shelf books than any other thing. It's just they market a lot. And we get a lot of emails.
Well, that's because we used to be a relevant comic book news site, so we used to get those.
Jesus, we used to be irrelevant. Anyway,
I think this is a consumer email myself. I think this comes because
it
I
is. No, it's not. It's not an industry email. It's a consumer email.
So anyway, but I mean, I'll flex through it before I dismiss it, as opposed to like other stuff. And I noticed that Alex Robinson, who did Box Office Poison, which is one of my favorite graphic novels of all time, I did an interview with him. I have a page from that book on my wall. Big fan.
So you're a huge fan.
Huge fan. Is the interview on the website anymore?
It might be. I gotta check.
All right, I don't think
maybe I'll dig it back up from the archive for the holidays.
Anyway, so he was working on this book forever after he finished Box Office Poison, and I was like, and I had sort of written him off. I was like, oh, that's not coming back. So now I look and it says that Top Shelf is going into their second printing of his new book, Tricked, and I went, what? How did I miss that?
You know how you missed it? Because you deleted the emails.
Yeah, exactly. And like meanwhile, like I thought, and it's funny because every year we do a little trade paperback exchange for Christmas or we buy each other comic books that we think we should be reading. And I actually for a moment was going to buy that for you, but then I was like, no, he already has it. And you didn't even know it existed.
Well, here's the stick and the craw. I open up the page on Top Shelf Comics and I start reading the quotes. Okay, here we go. Indie Book of the Year, Wired Magazine. Actually, it's Wizard, not Wired. They're completely different. Trick is one of the best books you'll read all year. If Bendis is to comics Mamet, if Grant Morrison is its David Cronenberg, then Alex Robinson is its Robert Altman, The Village Voice. Brilliant. Robinson's work has the potential to appeal to comics fans who don't normally read alternative comic readers who should avoid it. Highly recommended, Library Journal. Carefully and cleverly constructed, such an accomplishment is no easy trick. Time Magazine. Still more. A drama and thriller that plays to the real strength of the medium. Variety. Trick does what good graphic novels do best. Sucks in all your brain on all levels. Most indie films should be this good. Entertainment Weekly.
You've got a subscription to Time Magazine.
This to me is the comic book equivalent as if like you guys were to tell me, hey, King Kong came out on a DVD, and I would be like, it was a movie? Peter Jackson did another movie?
I can't believe he missed it.
I don't know what happened.
That's like the miss of the year, man. you gotta get up from the computer and walk into the bathroom and stare at yourself in the mirror and just go, what have I become?
I don't want to see that print, that face. I need a haircut. I didn't shower last night after the gym. It's still early. Jeez. I don't want to see that image.
It sounds like you need to go to the store and make a purchase. Because Lord knows, I sure as hell didn't buy it for you yet. So.
Well, and Wednesday, I've probably got about 4 or 5 weeks worth of stuff. So.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about Gotham Central, but since you haven't read it yet.
Sorry.
Chad.
Jeez.
You're letting us down left and right. This is the opposite of a Christmas miracle.
Yeah, this is a.
I feel like Tiny Tim right now. Somebody kicked away my cane and I'm falling on the ground.
It came out in June, Jeff. It came out literally 6 months ago.
I was planning my wedding at that time. I was knee deep in.
Yeah, you were busy. I mean, the thing is that you know, comics are an important part of our lives.
Listen,
but, you know,
Time Magazine, Entertainment Weekly, Variety, Village Voice. Okay.
Time Magazine,
which I know for a fact Josh has a subscription to.
It's over.
It's over?
Yeah.
You don't get Entertainment Weekly? I read about it in Entertainment Weekly.
I don't get Entertainment Weekly.
Variety?
Nope.
You work in Hollywood, for God's sakes.
Not for long.
Not after this. Not after they find out.
Once
you don't
they hear
Variety.
This, yeah, exactly. Just sad.
I get Esquire.
Jeez.
I get Wired.
Now you have a homework assignment. So.
No, I'm really excited now. I didn't know that there was a big old good book. But see, now that's on top of my list. I have to pick up I think I'm two or three trades back on Invincible. I think I'm back on Walking Dead.
Jeez, you're missing out.
Your nickname is Drop the Ball and Flanagan.
It's a horrible nickname.
Yes, it is.
You know what's really funny? Alex Robinson is just going to be like, not that he cares because Time and Variety and all these people like about it, but it's just like you're the bread and butter, and you just completely
he didn't remember me. I was like, we did like a 6-page interview. I bought one of your pages. We went back and forth. Oh hey, man, even Brian Vaughn remembered me. Like I was right after that first summer at Comic Con after Y came out. I'm like, hey, your number one was my pick of the week. And he's like, oh, I remember that. I read that. And I was like, yeah. And I was like, hey, Alex Robinson. And he was like, who are you?
Well, it's nice. I always wonder whether or not the creators are just being nice to us when we see them at cons and mention that we picked them as pick of the week, or they actually do remember.
Well, we get the occasional curator email, so that would be...
Yeah, well, like the last time I saw Bendis, I was like, oh, hey, I'm from MyFanboy. He's like, oh, hey, you love the site. And I was just like,
he was lying.
Okay.
He was lying. Yeah. I think that's a lie. I think Vaughn wasn't lying when I said it to him because he wasn't.
That was a long time ago.
So without even reading it, you would promote Trick to a book that people should pick up and read.
That is how much I really loved Box Office Poison.
Even
I read
the
it
end,
again.
which was weak.
I don't remember thinking that.
The first three quarters are excellent, and I agree with you. I recently reread some of it, but once the story shifted at the end and became about the secondary character and not about the relationship central to the storyline, it became boring to me.
Yeah.
I remember getting to the end of it and they sort of like prefaced what their lives would become. I found that very, very good. Very moving.
It was very good, I thought, up until it became all about the best friend of the main character and his budding comic book career and seemed sort of...
I think the story naturally went there. I think that Sherman's story kind of ended, but he wasn't done with telling the stories of the characters, so it went that way. Which didn't follow traditional dramatic structure, I don't think, but hey, to each his own.
I really need to go dig this trade back out.
I read it again less than a year ago, I think.
So did I. Yeah. It was really good.
I should read it again.
I still
haven't read Blankets.
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't love Blankets.
I didn't love it either, but it was good. I mean, it was...
It's been on my Christmas list for like the past 2 or 3 years.
I have it on my shelf.
I bought it for Lindsay.
Is it on your top shelf?
It's on my third shelf.
Oh.
You know what I did reread probably a month or two ago was V for Vendetta.
Oh, I just read that recently.
Oh,
I bought the hardcover.
Briefly the new trailer's out, which is
excellent.
I watched it last night. It was really good.
Oh, man.
Yeah, we'll put a link up on the site for it. That's going to be a really good movie. Although there's a shot in the trailer that I think is the end of the movie, which I think deviates from the book, which slightly has me concerned, but we'll see.
Even if it deviates from the book and it does it in a well-done way, then that's fine with me.
I don't know who the name is, but the guy who is the government guy, I love his voice.
The president?
Yeah, the president
the
guy. Yeah,
the head?
Yeah.
The head.
Like, he's perfect. Like, the casting for that is perfect.
If you have never read V for Vendetta, it's as good as comic books get. It's from 1986, so I guess it's 19 years old now. It's every bit as engaging as Watchmen. It's not known as a classic like in the same way. But read that book before you see that movie if you like comics. If you liked Watchmen, if you liked any of that stuff, please go get that book, man. That is it's out all over the place right now, and it is as good as comics have ever been. But just in case the movie sucks, don't let it ruin the book. So read the book first.
That's funny because you just told me not to read the book first. I mean, reread the book. I obviously have it, but I remember you mentioned reading it, and then I said, "Oh, I should reread that. It's been a while." And you said, "No, don't read it before the movie."
Really?
Yes, you did.
Well, there you go.
Was I drinking?
You might have been.
Possibly. DC recently put out a new hardcover edition of it, which I picked up a couple weeks ago, and it's like a library. You like put it up on your shelf, like it's a good. It's a little oversized, like how it was originally printed, because I guess it was printed in that oversized magazine
in Britain, so where they put it on parchment.
Yeah. So like the art is really crisp and really clean, and then there's a whole bunch of extra stuff in the back, and it's really 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 nice package.
Go pick that up.
So, and we're putting up a link to the trailer on the site. So if you haven't seen it already, you can go to ifanboy.com and click the link and go watch the trailer and tell us what you think.
It's awesome.
So
if you can download it in HD, it is just
Sweet, 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 sweet.
It was spectacular.
It's even nicer in HD on my widescreen monitor.
Oh, shut up.
All right. Well,
capitalism abounds here. You're like, buy on my widescreen monitor. Buy the huge hardcover one. You can go out and get the softcover one to get the same experience.
Yeah, no.
I've had my softcover for many years, and it's done me well, my friends. All the pages are yellow as shit. I think that adds to its cachet.
All right, then. Well, go to www.ifanboy.com or email us at contact@ifanboy.com and tune in next week for our Christmas extravaganza.
Our holiday extravaganza.
No, sorry, it's going to be the very quick
Jesus,
podcast.
Jesus, I'm married to a Jew and you talk like that?
I'm just trying to get us on Fox News.
Oh, do it. Do it. Happy Kwanzaa, everyone.
Was curious what the decent comic book stores in New York were, which I think Connor is probably best suited to answer that.
Who's asleep?
And Connor.
Connor.
Oh, we lost him.
God, he's killed. Oh, the death.
Oh, God, I'm good.
I got booted.